The lunchtime and also this morning, we were discussing, as you all know, various aspects of social justice, and it seemed to me that questions are coming up again and again about what do we do? What's the answer, not only rhetorically, but also perhaps a little more substantively about this question, about these issues? And that's what we're going to try to get at in this panel, which is called Recovering Civil Society, the Space Between the Individual and the State. And so, if I may, let me begin by posing a question. What do Plato, St. Augustine, John Locke, Edmund Burke, Alexis de Tocqueville, and George W. Bush have in common? Well, I'll address the question of a civil society, albeit obviously in far different ways. Well, Plato wrote of a just society in which people commit themselves to the common good under the direction of a philosopher king. Augustine lauded the city of God rather than the city of man, a society based on submission to the will of God. Locke argued for a limited state which would not interfere with the basic rights of citizens who should, he said, be allowed to form associations. That's a word we'll be hearing a lot about this afternoon, to form associations and practice the religion of their choice. For Burke, civil society is the offspring of what he called convention. Only in a state governed by convention and constitution can the rights of man be realized. And an integral part of such a society is what Burke called the little platoon. The little platoon. And we belong to that. This is, he said, the first link in the series by which we proceed towards a love to our country and to mankind. For Tocqueville, the success of 19th century democracy in America could be traced to the multitude of voluntary associations which he encountered everywhere. And he wrote, quote, "The most natural privilege of man, next to the right of acting for himself, is that of combining his exertions with those of his fellow creatures and of acting in common with them. I'm therefore led to conclude," he said, "that the right of association is almost as inalienable as the right of personal liberty." Tocqueville was fascinated with the concept, writing, "As soon as several of the inhabitants of the United States have conceived a sentiment or an idea that they want to produce in the world, they seek each other out. And when they have found each other, they unite. And from then on, they are no longer isolated men." When President George W. Bush announced the creation of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, it was, in fact, his very first executive order. He said that while government cannot be replaced by such organizations, it can and should welcome them as partners. Government, he said, does not have a monopoly on compassion. Thanks, George. Let me add here the author of an unjustly overlooked work. Richard Cornell, who in 1965 wrote Reclaiming the American Dream. Lenore called this to my attention, and that was, I remember it very well, because I read that book when it first came out and had a profound impact on me. Cornell argued there is a third sector between the public sector, government, and the private sector, business, which can solve many of our socioeconomic problems. He called it the independent sector. And its dimensions are, as my grandchildren would say, awesome. 314 million individuals, 115 million households, and the donations of those individuals to charity a couple of years ago were $300 billion. The number of churches, 350,000 churches. 350,000. 1.5 million charitable organizations, 3,800 nonprofit hospitals. If fully mobilized, Cornell argued, the independent sector could go a long way toward reversing the trend of first looking to government whenever we have a problem. So then, for more than 2,000 years, philosophers and politicians alike have explored the idea of civil society, including the founding fathers of our republic. And in his marvelous book, We Still Hold These Truths, my Heritage colleague Matthew Spaulding points out that the founders' confidence in limited government rested on the role of non-governmental institutions to do the things that formal government had no authority to do. Civil society, Spaulding writes, is home to the small groupings, family, church, schools, voluntary associations, charitable organizations that make up the informal social networks of ordinary American life. And in times past, this civil society was responsible for performing and providing most of the assistance and charity to meet the social problems of the day. But along came Leviathan and the welfare state and entitlements for nearly everyone. So that today, according to the Harvard professor Robert Putnam, social and civic engagement has declined severely, along with the impulse of individuals to act together in pursuit of shared objectives. And Putnam titled his study of this phenomenon, Bowling Alone. The culprit? Television. He wrote before the oncoming of the internet. Unlike newspapers, Putnam argues, TV takes time away from out-of-house activities. TV watchers overestimate crime rates and societal decline. Children spend as much time in front of TV as they do all other discretionary activities combined. And of course, now we have mobile phones, iPads, iPods, iPoods, iPims, other instruments of endless diversion. You don't have to be a Harvard professor to note the impact of social media, like Twitter, on young Americans culturally, socially, academically. And so we ask ourselves this afternoon, is it possible to recover civil society through the little platoons? Or are voluntary associations a charming anachronism? What effect is the decline of church attendance and the membership of mainline denominations having on civil society? Has a new kind of civil society, more closely aligned with and largely dependent on government, evolved? For the answers to these and other questions, we turn to our esteemed panel. Brian Lee Crowley is the managing director of the new Canadian think tank, the McDonnell Laurier Institute in Ottawa. We were trying to expropriate that, Brian, I'm sorry, in Ottawa. The author of several books, including The Self, The Individual, and The Community, and is a former Salvatore Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, attesting once again to the good judgment of Heritage. Roberta Hertzberg is Associate Professor of Political Science at Utah State University, the author of many articles on political science and political economy, and she served as a key commissioner of the Utah Health Policy Commission, which oversaw the development of new health reform proposals for the state. Ted McAllister is Associate Professor of Public Policy at Pepperdine University, the author of Revolt Against Modernity. I like the sound of that, Ted, I really do. And has two books in progress. He's a contributor to Front Page Republic, an online organization dedicated to political decentralism, economic localism, and cultural regionalism. Dr. Crowley, the podium is yours.